The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we continue in our study in the book of Hebrews, we are particularly focusing upon the ways in which Christ's sacrifice was a better sacrifice that was needed. In today's message, we find that only the perfect sacrifice of Christ can bring us full assurance. Anything less than complete reliance upon the finished work of Christ will give us nothing but fear and doubt. Join us today as we see the full assurance that we have in relying upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ.
Man of sorrows,
we want to go back to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We've made it, as we progress through this book, down to the 19th verse of chapter 10. You may recall that we have been talking about in chapter 10 and parts of chapter 9 how that Christ is a better sacrifice. You know, we've seen that better is the theme of the book, and
In chapter 7, we were kind of looking at the theme of the better high priest. In chapter 8, the better covenant. Chapter 9, the first part of that, the better sanctuary. And we began to see in chapter 9 that Christ was a better sacrifice. And all of chapter 10 continues to point us toward that. Last time we saw that this better sacrifice was the foundation for the regeneration and the new birth. You know, some people seem to think that the new birth is a new thing, but the new birth is an old truth. It was an Old Testament truth. In fact, if you recall, Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus by night, after Jesus told him about the new birth in explicit terms, Nicodemus couldn't really fathom it. He couldn't really comprehend it. He said something to the effect of, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said, "Are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things?" The point being that it's always been there. It's always been in the scriptures. You just have missed that, Nicodemus. And the new birth is the vital link that we have between us and God. Every child of God at some point between conception and the grave will be born again. And it doesn't have to do with how many preachers get to him or how much the gospel gets to him either. It has to do with the power of God, the sovereign direct action of the Holy Spirit. And that new birth is a fundamental fact of our existence. But remember that remission of our sins is the fundamental basis of the new birth. That without that remission, without the sacrifice of Christ, the new birth could not occur because our sins would not have been put away and we could not have any kind of relationship with God. So we saw that last time, and we saw as we finished up there looking at verse 18 that it says, "Where remission of these is," speaking of remission of sins, "there is no more offering for sin." And there's a lot packed into that one verse. One thing that's packed in there is that all the Old Testament ceremonial laws passed away. I don't know how many times I've said that as we preach through the book of Hebrews, but we need to remember that. All that ceremonial law has passed away. We do not have to sacrifice lambs or turtle doves or cows or anything else like that anymore, because the ultimate sacrifice has been made in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those sacrifices pointed us to that. And we do not anymore have to observe the ceremonial aspects of that law. Now, the moral law is still in effect. You know, he didn't do away with thou shalt not commit adultery. You still can't commit adultery. That's still an immoral act. And thou shalt not kill, that's still an immoral act. But the ceremonial law has been done away with. It has passed away. We've seen that. And it's because the operative fact of history, the linchpin of history, was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. That was the linchpin of history. All of history revolves around it like the spokes of a wheel revolve around the sacrifice of Christ. Everything is pinned upon that. And in fact, if you think about it, is it not true that our lives are pinned upon that hope? Because quite frankly, Paul said, without the resurrection, we have no hope. We're of all men most miserable. I'll be honest with you, if I thought there were no resurrection, I would not be here tonight. I'd be hiding under my bed or something. I'd be weeping. I'd be terrified, because that's the only hope I have, Brother Mackey, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. That's the only hope I have. And it's that remission that he's talking about here. Now there's no more offering. That's another way of saying all those old ceremonial offerings, sacrifices are passed away, and we're moving on to something better. You know, those Hebrews were having trouble with that. They were tempted to slide back. They were tempted to fall back into the old way of worshiping. They had a lot of those Judaizing missionaries came down and said, you know, this is a pretty good deal, but you really still have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. Still got something else to add to the sacrifice of Christ. Is that not what's being taught in the world today? You got to add something to the sacrifice of Christ. It's not circumcision today. It's works, maybe. It's good works that have to outweigh your bad works. Or maybe it's just a sinner's prayer. But you got to add it to the sacrifice of Christ. I tell you, beloved, I want to stand here before you flat-footed on this podium and say to you that the sacrifice of Christ is the end-all and be-all of our salvation. Amen. That's it. It is finished minute. It means my salvation was complete. Now, I know it was not until I was born again that I was able to see that and embrace that. But praise God, because he was sacrificed, I was born again. And there was no question about whether I would be born again. It didn't take the preacher to get to me. It didn't take the Word of God to get to me. It didn't take the gospel to get to me. The gospel's a wonderful thing. The gospel is a glorious thing. It's the central fact of my life, but it's not what gave me life. Life preceded belief. Life always precedes light. Just remember that, child of God. And now that brings us down to verse 19. We're going to read verses 19 through 22 to start off with here tonight. In verse 19 it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now, as we look at these verses, we see that that's the logical conclusion of understanding that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. See, the better sacrifice of Christ gives us full assurance. That's the only place our assurance can lie. It's the full assurance that we could not otherwise have. Think about it this way. If my salvation was 99% Christ and 1% me, let's think about it in the likeness of a chain, okay? You know, think about it. You got links in a chain, right? You got this one big old link that's 99% of the chain, okay? But then there's this little link. It's just a little one. I mean, it's not very big. It's only 1%. But it's that link that hooks the 99% to eternity, to eternal salvation. I can remember times when we'd have a chain and we were pulling something out, and Daddy always made us get back away from it when he started putting the pull to it, you know? And you know why he did that? What if Daddy said, "Son, it's okay, stand right there by it. There's 100 links in this chain, 99 of them are perfect. There's one of them that's weak, but don't worry about it. It's just one, okay?" What happens when the pull starts on that chain? That one weak link pops and hits you in the head, right? Well, see, that's the problem. If you've got 100 links in the chain of salvation and there's only one that's you, 99 are the Lord's, those 99 that are the Lord's are not going to break, but I guarantee you, yours will break every time. Yours will break every time, you see. Could I have full assurance under that circumstance? "Lord, I know you did almost all of it, so I'm going to march into your presence with full assurance that I've done the rest." I don't think so. See, the only way we can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith is if we've had, he says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know what that's a reference to? That's a reference back to the new birth, which, remember, is based upon the better sacrifice of Christ. Now let's think about that for a moment. Because of his sacrifice, we have boldness in approaching God. That word boldness there, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." There wasn't a Jew living in the time before Christ that would be anything other than terrified if they were being drugged toward the Holy of Holies there in the temple. Because the truth is, going into that Holy of Holies without the right preparation and on the wrong day and without the things that they were told to do meant certain death. They would have been terrified. Nobody was able to approach the Holy of Holies. That's that innermost sanctum of the temple where the Lord would appear between the cherubim. And the high priest could only go there once a year. And he had to be prepared. And they all, you know, as the things that I've read, he had these little bells on his the skirt of his garments that would make noises. And when they quit making noises, they had a little hook that could reach in there and drag him out because they knew he'd died. He hadn't done everything just right. And therefore, they had to drag him out because the Lord slew him. They were terrified. The normal, everyday common man in that day, if he was told, "You need to go into the Holy of Holies right now," he would run scared, okay? But did you know, child of God, I mean, I'm wearing a suit, but that's it. I'm not dressed up in any garb that you read about in the Old Testament. I haven't particularly, I've washed my hands, but I haven't done that ritual washing and that ritual purification. I've sacrificed no animals whatsoever. And quite frankly, I've already committed sin today. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in the sight, in the presence of a holy God. But did you know that I have full access into the very holy of holies, the throne room of God right now? Turn with me back over to Hebrews chapter 4. Listen to this. Listen in Hebrews chapter 4. You remember the great high priest, our better high priest? Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Our Lord knows everything we're experiencing. But notice verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word boldness means liberty. It means freedom in speaking, okay? It means an unreservedness in presenting your petitions before God. How could you ever be satisfied with those animal sacrifices? Was there ever really a little lamb that had no blemish and had no spot? Was there really? Listen, we're talking about animals here. I know they did the best they could, and they said you can't have, obviously it couldn't have some lame leg or something that was obvious, but was there ever really any perfectly spotless little lamb that they would bring? No, there wasn't. They were all dirty animals. They just did the best they could. But even in that circumstance, could you ever be truly satisfied that you got it right? Under the law, could you ever be truly satisfied that you had done every sacrifice just right with the right approach, the right mindset? Let's fast forward to today. They say you got to accept Jesus in order to be a child of God. You got to give your heart to Him. Could you ever be perfectly satisfied that you did it right? Did you ever, do you ever feel like you could be satisfied that, Lord, I completely surrendered to you? I didn't reserve anything in the depths of my heart. No, none of those dark, deep recesses of my heart that not even my wife knows about. I didn't reserve any of that. Or did you? If that's the basis of me approaching unto Him, I could have no boldness. I could have no liberty of speech. I could have no unreservedness in presenting my petitions to Him. But listen, based upon the fact that we have a great high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, who did go to the cross of Calvary, who did put away my sins, I can come boldly before the throne of grace and I can ask for grace to help in time of need. Now that's amazing, isn't it? There's no curtain separating this pulpit from the congregation. There was in that day. Because the sacrifice had not been completed. That's why they kept making them. You remember that? We read that over there in Hebrews chapter 10, right? They never sat down because they never were through. But Jesus sat down on the right hand of the Father on high. And by the way, let me just encourage you to take everything to God in prayer. I was talking to somebody not too long ago. I said, hey, I'm going to pray for you about this particular circumstance. And sent me back a text message, said, oh, don't pray for me. Don't bother God with this. Take the real stuff to God. Take the big stuff to God, essentially is what they're saying. Well, I heard Brother Sonny Piles ask this question one time. I didn't know what he was talking about initially, but I get it now. He said, let me ask you a question. What big thing can you take to God? What big problem is there out there that God would look at it and say, oh, wow, that's big. You say, God, I need you to raise somebody from the dead. Well, oh, wow, that's too big. No, He's done it. He's done it. God, I need to pray for healing in this circumstance. God's not going to say, oh, man, I don't know about this. Well, He's done it. He was here and He did it. God, I need a brand new universe. I'm tired of this one. I need a brand new universe. Can you do that for me? Now, he's not going to do it for you. But can he? Absolutely. He's done it. And he didn't even break a sweat doing it. You remember that? The star. Lord, I need a new star in the sky. You know what that's called in the book of Psalms? The finger work of God. The heavens are the finger work of God. Didn't even break a sweat. He didn't sit down on he didn't rest on the seventh day after creation, the day after he created man, because he was tired. He just rested because he was done. He sat down because he was finished. You see, don't save the big problems for God, because there's no such thing in God's sight. Take it all to him. Hey, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen, I'm not ashamed to ask you to pray for me. Pray for me. You know, look, even if it's a hangnail. I mean, I'm probably not going to think to pray about that, quite frankly. But maybe you got just a little problem, you know, somewhere on. Pray for me. You know, I need it. Pray to God. Take it to him, you see. And remember verse 22 again. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's not talking about ritual washing. That's a reference back to the new birth, which is based on the better sacrifice of Christ. Now, not to repeat ourselves, but think about this just for a minute as we close out this particular portion and move on to another section. Think about how bad it would be if we had to approach him based upon our own merits or our own efforts. You say, well, I got a lot of good works that I can approach him on. You know what he calls good works? Our righteousnesses? He calls them filthy rags in Isaiah 64:6. Well, I've got some good thoughts, Lord. I've been really pondering and meditating upon you. You know what else you got in that mind? You got the carnal mind, which Romans 8 tells us is enmity against God. Well, maybe, God, I've been doing good. I've been trying to do right, okay? He said, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Say, okay, I have exercised my will. I have made a decision for Christ. Well, I hope you have. I try to make a decision for Christ every day, multiple times a day. But I can tell you this, that decision I made for Christ sometimes dissipates when I get focused upon trying to crank a power saw. Glennon knows. Sherry knows worse. When the power saw won't crank, and you got to yank it umpteen times to crank it, that decision I made for Christ sometimes leaves my mind, okay? And as I told Brother Glendon yesterday, he saw where my power saw was laying. It was laying on its side out there under a tree. I said, I did not gently place it there. I can just tell you that. But I should have. I'm not bragging. I say that to my shame. But the problem is 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them for they're spiritually discerned. And I've still got that natural man, you see. I'm still got that man within me. See, if we had to approach God based upon our own merit, we would be miserable. And in fact, we could not approach him. But we can approach him with a true heart and full assurance because our hearts have been sprinkled from the evil conscience by the new birth, by the blood of Christ that was applied in the new birth, and our bodies washed with pure water. See, now we can serve him. You know why? Not because we got good enough or got educated enough, but because he made us able in the new birth. The new birth kind of, it restores the freedom of the will in a sense. You ever thought about that? The new birth, before the new birth, we've only got the old man and we're bound by that nature and we cannot serve him. We have no freedom of will. We're free, but we're free to do bad, do wrong. We have no freedom of the will to serve him, but when we're born again, now we have two natures. We have that other nature where we can please him, and we can choose to serve him. Did you know we can please him here? We can please God in this body, believe it or not. Not completely and not perfectly, but we can make decisions, for instance, to be here on Sunday night, to be in church on Sunday morning, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. We can please God, you see. That better sacrifice gives us the full assurance.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.